Father, we thank you right now for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, when we should have taken falls and been taken out, been destroyed, annihilated. You stepped in and you took the fall. And thought of me. And thought of us. And thought of the church. Above all. Above all. Above all. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your power and your might. We thank you for your hand and your touch. We thank you for being God this morning. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We honor you and we worship you today, Lord. We sing hallelujah to your name. It's only by your grace and only by your mercy that we can stand in your presence. So thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blood that was shed. Thank you for the pain that was endured. Thank you, God, for loving us so much and sending your son that we would have eternal life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Give God some praise. I want you to stand with me for the sake of time. And we're going to read the word. We're going to stand in reverence to the reading of the word. If you would please turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. We thank God for Lady Sheila. God bless her. The anointing is here. The power of God is here. Without the anointing, it's just singing. Without the anointing, it's just talking and preaching. But we need the anointing of God. The power of God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. I won't be before you long. I promise you, I won't be, and I won't preach any longer than I'm supposed to. Amen, amen, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and 9. Let me get there. I can feel the anointing of God. God is doing something. God is doing something. Lord have mercy. He's putting it all together. You know, our best laid plans are nothing with God. He has it already figured out, Keith. He has it already figured out. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. Please turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 18 and 19. When you have it, please say amen. If you can't find it, say go ahead. Amen. Therefore, the Lord will wait. Are you there with me? Chapter 30, verse 18 and 19. I love that. I love to hear those Bibles turning and people seeking the word. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. A God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Verse 19, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. This is a reading of the word of God. Thanks be to God. I'll be speaking to you today from the subject, grace to move forward. Grace to move forward. Please be seated in his presence. I thank you so much for standing in reverence to the word of God. We are moving forward by his grace and his mercy. You know, so much has happened in 2012. But thank God that we made it through. So much has occurred. There has been so many issues and so many problems, but thank God. Thanks be to God that we made it through. We made it over. We're going over. We're going to see another year. God is going to bring us through. He's brought us through. And he's brought us through by his grace. His grace. His grace and his mercy. But his grace is what we're going to talk about today. His grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is God's favor to you. And God's favor to me. His favor is unmerited. We didn't deserve it. We don't deserve God's favor. But thank God for his grace and his mercy that he's given us his grace freely, even though we don't deserve it, even though we don't honor him, and even though we don't worship him, and even though we don't call on his name, and even though we put him last on our list, he still gives us his grace freely. You don't have to do anything for it. You don't have to perform. You don't have to roll around on the floor, turn around 21 times, have 7 degrees, 3 doctorates. You don't have to have money in your pocket. You don't have to do anything to deserve God's grace except to receive it. It comes freely and is given to us freely. And we made it through by his unmerited favor. You know, as believers, we are under God's grace. Did you know that? As Christians, we are under God's grace. As believers, we are under the grace of God. Don't be distracted. I want you to hear this word. This is a word for you today. Do whatever you have to do to tune in and zone in and listen to this word. Amen? Amen. As believers, we are under God's grace. Romans 6 and 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace.
Amen.
Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. That means that you don't have to adhere to laws. You don't have to come to church because you're supposed to. You're under grace. That you don't have to adhere to the laws of all of the Old Testament because you're under grace. God's grace is upon you. As believers, we are under God's grace. That is why you didn't get what you deserve. If we were under the law, you would get what you deserve. You would get what you deserve for being an adulterer and a liar. You would get what you deserve for stealing if we were under the law. But you're not under the law. We're under his grace. Lord have mercy. That's why I can stand up here and preach, because I'm under his grace. Doesn't matter what I did 10, 15, 20 years ago. I'm under his grace. And by his grace and mercy, I can stand and declare to you, live right, do right, prosper. By his grace, we can stand. It's because of his unmerited favor that I didn't get what I deserve and you didn't get what you deserve. And we ought to give him praise. If we don't praise him for nothing else, another house, another car, and we don't praise him for gas, we don't praise him for anything else, we ought to run around this building and run around our homes and give him praise that we didn't get what we deserve. Lord, have mercy. His grace is not to be abused. Nor turn from. As believers, we are under his grace, and his grace is not to be abused nor turn from. Galatians 5 and 4, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Lord have mercy. Those who have been trying to be justified by law. Justified by the law. I pay my bills. I come to church. I pay my tithes. Justified by law. I sing in the choir. I'm a deacon. I stand up. I have people that I preach to on the train. Justified by law. When you're justified by law, you fall from grace. I'm a good person. We've all heard that one. I'm a good person. You know, there's this show called the... My Father's Way, something like The Way of the Master. The Way of the Master. And they go up to people on the street and they say, Are you believing Christ? And the answer that people say is, no, I'm a good person. I don't go to church. I'm a good person. And they say, well, have you ever lied? And they say, yeah. And they say, well, what does that make you? A liar. Have you ever stole? Yeah, stole. What does that make you? A thief. But this is a good person. So when you are justified by law, or trying to justify your life by law, or through the law, or through your own good deeds, the fact that you put Easter eggs down for the kids and during the Easter hunt, the fact that you do all these things, I'm jolly old Saint Nick on Christmas, the fact that you try to justify yourself, you have fallen from grace. From grace. His grace is not to be abused or turned from. You abuse the grace of God and fall from grace when you justify your righteousness through the law. I mind my own business. I pay my bills. And yes, I still have some issues, but you still may have some issues, but you need God. His grace, thirdly, cannot be set aside. You can't just put His grace aside. When you're under grace, you're under His grace. You can't not set the grace of God aside. It was given to you freely. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything for it, so you cannot set it aside. Galatians 2 and 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. In other words, you can't set aside God's grace and justify yourself through the law only. Therefore, you will only have religion. You won't have relationship with God. You'll have religion. You ever seen somebody, I'm a deacon, I'm a deaconess, I'm a pastor, constantly throwing their titles at you? They're justifying themselves by the law. Justifying. Giving these crazy rules, these man-made rules in churches. You have to wear black on third Sunday and green on fourth Tuesday. And if you don't have on a certain pair of pants, you can't come in church. And if you wear lipstick, you can't do this. And all these different laws when we're justified by grace. Doesn't matter what you've done, you're justified by grace. It doesn't matter if you came out the club and came to church this morning, you're justified by grace. It does not matter if you yelled at your wife or yelled at your husband or whatever you may have done before you stepped foot in this church, you are justified by grace and not the law. For if we are bound by the law and commandments, then Christ died in vain. Christ died in vain. He didn't die for your sins because you're justified by the law. He didn't die because you were low down. You're justified by the law. You didn't die because you're... He died in vain. In vain. His grace is described as all abundant and all sufficient. Thank God for His grace. Lord, I'm yelling. Help me, God. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. God declares to the Apostle Paul that His grace is sufficient for you, and His strength is made perfect in weakness. The definition of sufficient is adequate to accomplish a purpose. God's grace is sufficient for you. It's adequate to accomplish His purpose in your life. It doesn't matter what you've done. His grace is adequate enough and sufficient enough to accomplish the purpose that He has for you in your life. I know you don't feel like you're worthy, but His grace is sufficient. I know you feel like you're not going to make it, but His grace is sufficient. I know that you lied, but His grace is sufficient. I know you don't pay your bills right, but His grace is sufficient. I know that you don't treat your wife right, but His grace is sufficient to accomplish what He has for you. It's sufficient and adequate to accomplish a purpose or meet a need. You know, in 2012, we had to take hold of that as a church, that His grace is sufficient. Lord, have mercy. I was trying to do everything to push the church forward. I was going to conferences and seminars and listening to people telling me how to build a church. People telling you how to build God's church. People giving you instructions and tools on how to build God's church. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, They labor in vain who build. So all you have to do is be faithful, and all you have to do is show up. I did not get on the phone and call any of you to be here, but God in His grace and His mercy touched your heart and put His finger on your life and directed you to come here. Lord, have mercy. His grace is sufficient. It doesn't matter. His grace is sufficient. Doesn't matter what we worship. His grace is sufficient. Doesn't matter who's here or who's not here. His grace is sufficient. And we shall go forth by the power of God. Amen. You know, Paul had, the apostle Paul, and he had some type of infirmity. And he wanted God, in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, he wanted God to remove this thing. You know, he wanted God to take it away. It was some kind of infirmity, Keith. We don't know what it is. You know, some scholars say it was something with his eye. There was something going on with his eye. He prayed to God. We don't have time to turn there now and read it, but he prayed to God in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 to remove this thing from me. And the Bible says that he prayed three times for this thing to be removed. The Apostle Paul, great man of God, had an infirmity, had an issue that he wanted God to remove. And God wouldn't remove it. You know why God wouldn't remove it? Lord have mercy. God wouldn't remove it because this infirmity kept him crying out to God. God wouldn't remove it because this infirmity kept him seeking God's face. God wouldn't remove it because this thing is the thing that made him come to church. This is the thing that made him cry out to God. This is the thing that made him fall on his face and cry. This is the thing that made him give his life over to Christ. And God wouldn't remove it. He said, I'm not going to remove it. My grace is sufficient to bring you through. My grace is sufficient. I know that you're still doing that, but my grace is still sufficient to bring you through. All you have to do is keep walking forward and moving forward and serving me in spirit and in truth and honoring me with your life because my grace is sufficient. You're not going to be able to get through it. My grace is sufficient. You're not going to overcome it on your own. My grace is sufficient. Stop trying to do it on your own. My grace is sufficient. You know, as a trainer and as a pastor, I get these two excuses. I'm not going to come work out with you until I lose weight. Jesus. And I'm not going to come to church until I start living right. Until I learn how to work out, and then I'll come see you. And I'm not going to come to church all the time until I start living right. I'm living foul. I can't come to church. But Christ says, my grace is sufficient. Get yourself in church. My grace is sufficient. Sing on the choir. My grace is sufficient. Join the worship team. My grace is sufficient. Serve as a deacon. My grace is sufficient. Count the offering. My grace is sufficient. Do what God has called you to do. My grace is sufficient. You know, my wife and I, we were looking at some videos the other day of the kids playing around. They were little, they were younger. They were, Zachary was 1, 8 months. Zion was 2. So, no. Help me, Lord. Zachary was 8 months. Zachary, who?
Zachary was 8 months.
Zion was 4.
Zoe was 2.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. His grace is sufficient. And so we're looking at the videos and we're laughing and I'm crying because I'm like, Lord, look how big they could be big now. And I'm about to cry and looking at them and just thinking about them. And I looked at the video of my wife and she was sitting at the table. Every video, she'd be sitting at the table looking tired. Looking tired with her famous robe on, or just looking tired. And I said, how did we make it? No help with the kids. Nobody helped us. Working, dragging them to, we were members of Brad, dragging them to Brooklyn every Sunday, sitting on the pew. I'm sitting on the pulpit like, oh my God, please help her with those kids over there. How did we make it? Starting a church. Keith and I setting up bagels and seeing my wife coming with little ones. How do we do it? is sufficient. He'll help you. He'll help you. You know, that's why we declared to you through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are moving forward to new dimensions of His grace. That's our theme for this year, Felicia. We are moving forward to new dimensions of His grace. Grace to live, grace to learn, grace to love, and grace to live. Amen. You know it. You know it. New dimensions of His favor. We're moving forward to new dimensions of His favor. You know, my wife and I with the children, that was one level and dimension of His grace. And we made it through. But now we're looking to God to move to new dimensions. That now He's going to have to pour out His favor upon us to help us get through this next dimension, this next stage of life. And we're believing that He's going to do that, and He's going to pour out His grace in a new way on the church. It's not new to God, but it'll be new to us. We'll have a different consciousness and an awareness of it, because it is God that's grace is the same, but our awareness of it will be different. So I want you to be prepared to receive new dimensions of His grace. Grace to learn, grace to love, and grace to live. We're going to learn more this year. We're going to learn more. I pray that you take all the lessons that you've learned this year and you apply them and don't repeat them. All the things that you've been through and all the things that you've experienced and all the things that have happened to you in 2012, that you will take them and you will move beyond them into a new dimension of His grace. And you'll learn more. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. That we're going to read this word and we're going to learn this word. We're just not going to come to church and be the type of church where you spin around 21 times and you're going to get a blessing over here, blessing over there. You're being entertained. Entertainment through the preaching. Entertainment through the singing. Entertainment, entertainment. No, no, no. We're going to come and we're going to learn and we're going to grow and we're going to be accountable to God through the word. Amen? And I'm telling you, when you learn this word, I'm not talking about memorizing scriptures. Anybody can memorize a scripture. You saw a little Zoe up here. She memorized that prayer. Anyone can memorize a scripture, but we're talking about learning the word of God. So when you're in a dilemma and when you have an issue, you can open up the word of God and you can say, what does this mean? Speak to me, Lord. Show me the way. And it does not have to be just the pastor doing that. It should be you doing that as well. And we're going to learn how to do that this year. We're going to have grace to learn this year. Study to show thyself approved. We are going to learn His word and have an understanding of His word and how to apply it to our lives. We're going to learn the proper way to exercise and be healthier. Amen. We're going to learn how to exercise and be healthier this year. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to learn. We're going to learn. We're going to learn and we're going to love more. We're going to love more. We're going to love more. Love more. Love more. That's one of my goals. That's one of my spiritual exercises, to love more. I love everybody. I do. I love everybody. And sometimes I get upset because I love so much. But you're going to learn how to love more. More than that. More than that. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Everyone who loves is born of God. Don't hate the fact that you have a good heart. Don't despise. Just watch who you be around and who you allow near your heart. But don't hate that you have a good heart. Whoever is born of God loves and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You know, I'm not talking about any churches, I don't know, but I don't see how you can have a church where there's no love. I don't see how you can have a church where people are mean. I don't see how you can have a church where people will tell you, that's my seat, get out of my seat. I don't see how you can have a church where there's manipulation going on. I just don't understand how you can have a church building where there is no love, where the people don't hug and love and care for each other. This is the one place where we're supposed to experience the love of God. This is the one place. And then we're supposed to take that love out into the world. Amen. And share. Amen. We're going to have more grace to love. Thirdly, we're going to have grace to live more abundantly. grace to live abundantly. You need the favor of God to live an abundant life. You know, because of our issues, because of our mentality, because of the things that we've experienced in life, we have to come beyond our thought processes and things we saw growing up. And we need God's abundant grace to move us beyond what we've experienced and kept us bound. You know, if you've seen abuse in your life and you experience abuse, you're going to carry that with you. And it takes the grace of God to move you beyond that. If you've experienced trauma in life, trauma. Some of the things that we've been through is traumatic. Lord have mercy. Trauma. And you need the grace of God to move you past that trauma to help you live more abundantly. Or you're going to continue going around in circles and be in a vicious cycle of making the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over again. Your mama made that mistake, then you're going to make the mistake. Then your daughter's going to make that mistake. Then the next thing, on and on and on. Unless you get into the grace of God, new dimensions of His grace, and live more abundantly. And live more abundantly. I know I want to live abundant. I want an abundant life. Christ said that I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. As Christians, we ought to be living an abundant life. And if we're going to live an abundant life, we're going to have to walk in the favor and grace of God. And we're going to have to change our thinking. We're going to have to stop having a lack, low-level mentality. And we're going to have to think of things above and not beneath. Above and not beneath. Above and not beneath. If we're going to live more abundantly. The Lord will be gracious to us and show us new dimensions of His grace if we pursue Him, put Him first, and be patient. We can get ready to stop there. I want you just to write that down. If you have a pen, if you don't, I'll email it to you later. But this is, I want you to hear this. The Lord will be gracious to us and show us new dimensions of His grace if we pursue Him, put Him first, and be patient. Pursue Him. I mean, pursue Him. Anybody ever pursued somebody? Jumping out of bushes and all that? Pursue Him. Pursue Him. Calling somebody. Have you ever find somebody calling somebody's cell phone? You're with somebody in a relationship, you call their cell phone. You find a cell phone, you're pursuing that person. Stalking people, you can't do it. Pursue God. Put Him first. Put Him first. If you're going to do something, say, you know, we laugh about it, but what would Jesus do? We laugh about that. Think, put Him first. Put Him first. And then be patient. That's what I want to focus on these next few seconds. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient with me as I preach. And be patient as we go forward. Amen. If you're going to experience new dimensions of His grace, you and I, we must be patient. You know, Isaiah 30 and 18 and 19, that's our foundational scripture. We're going to be talking about this all month, so I'm not going to finish this today. This is our foundational scripture for new dimensions of His grace. You know the story, many of you. If you don't, we'll go over it. But the prophet Isaiah, he was called to Israel to be a prophet to them. And at this particular time, King Hezekiah was in command. And he had taken the children of Israel. He had taken people just like you and I, children of Israel, who had escaped from bondage and slavery. Bondage and slavery. And because life was getting difficult, they wanted to look back towards Egypt. Lord have mercy. Because it was too hard to be a homeowner and too hard to get a degree and too hard to start a business and too hard to do things that required you to be self-sufficient and depend on God, they wanted to go back into bondage. Go back into their old ways, into their old habits. It was too hard to deal with life without drinking or smoking or doing drugs. So they kept going back to bondage. It was too hard to be married to just one woman, so they slept around. It was too hard to be faithful to one man, so they slept around. They went back to bondage. Too hard to live right and to live holy and to go forward in what God was calling them to do. So they wanted to go back to bondage. But these particular children of Israel in the time of King Hezekiah, They didn't necessarily want to just go back to Egypt, Felicia, but they just wanted to keep the door open. They wanted to have an alliance. They wanted to have an alliance. God ever delivered you from something and you tried to keep an alliance or keep in alignment with it? He pulled you out of that abusive relationship and you just, you know the guy's no good, but you just stay in alliance. You stay right there. You just want to be, long as I could call him every now and then. This is what the children of Israel did. They tried to keep an alliance to bondage. And the prophet Isaiah was raised up to tell them, you can't do that. That's what prophets are for. Prophets are not to tell you how wonderful you are and that you're going to get a business and you're going to make it and you're going to thrive and survive in 2005. That's not what the prophet is for. The prophet is to tell you you're not living right. The prophet is to tell you you can do better. The prophet is in your life to say, I think you should think about going back to school. The prophet is here to say, I think that you should take some business courses because I see you with a business. The prophet is here to tell you, I don't think you should keep messing with him. It doesn't seem to have your best interest. Amen. And the prophet Isaiah declared to King Hezekiah, I don't think that you should keep this alliance with Egypt. God doesn't want you to have this alliance. And the reason that they wanted to have this alliance is because they were afraid of moving forward. They didn't depend on God's grace. They wanted to make it happen in their own strength. They wanted to make it happen in their own way. And I'm here to tell somebody today that if you stop trying to make it happen in your own strength, stop trying to scheme and manipulate and allow God to make it happen for you. Get rid of those evil alliances. Evil alliances. Cut it off. God will give you a good man. God will give you a good woman. God will help you in your life. God will help you with what you need. His grace is sufficient. But the children of Israel, they wanted to keep going back to Egypt. The prophet wanted Israel to move forward to new dimensions of grace. Lord have mercy. New dimensions of his grace. They already experienced his grace. He delivered them from bondage. Took them through the wilderness. And now they wanted to look back. Look back. It's one of the most painful things of being a pastor, seeing people delivered, moving forward, doing good. Let me share this with you, especially young people here today. One of the worst mistakes I ever made, Zenobia, one of the worst mistakes I ever made was when I got saved and didn't give my all to God. Played the fence. This side, one foot in the church, one foot out. That's when I made some of the worst, most devastating mistakes in my life. I wish I could go back and I wish I could just have dedicated my life right then and there without learning those hard lessons. If God has called you here and drawn you to church and keeps placing it on your heart, there's a reason. There's something he's trying to get to you. I didn't see this. I just knew God was saying, go to church. But I also knew the club was saying, come to the club. But I wish I had somebody to say, I see something in you. You could do better. I wish I had somebody to do that. I wish I did. The prophet Isaiah, he wanted them to move forward to new dimensions of his grace. They had seen God move and deliver out of Egypt, out of the wilderness, in the promised land. But now they no longer believe that God's grace was sufficient enough for them to deliver them out of present trouble. They were in trouble now. Look at chapter 30, verses 1 and 2. You know what? We're not going to finish this. We're not going to finish this. We'll be preaching this all month of January. Amen. We'll be preaching this the entire month of January. Won't you stand with me? Yeah, we're moving forward to new dimensions of his grace. Come on, wake up, y'all. Put your hands together. Give God some praise. We're leaving. We're going to get some fruit and some bagels. Amen. Never allow the word of God to condemn you. The word of God will convict you. It will convict you. It's supposed to convict you, but it's not supposed to condemn you. And whenever the day comes that you don't feel like running up here and punching me in my face, amen, because what I'm saying is convicting you, something is wrong. That's my job, to take you to the next level of life. We're moving forward to new dimensions of His grace. To new dimensions of His grace. I just want to pray because I know you have to leave. I know somebody has a ham in the oven. Amen. But I just want to pray that as we go into 2013, that you won't keep making the same mistakes that have tripped you up. I know I'm praying for myself, that we will go to new dimensions of His grace. I just want to pray. Everybody, the whole church, come forward to the altar, please. Yeah, I'm going to, man, you pray, I'm going to anoint. Well, where's the altar? Do we leave it in the car? Amen. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray for the church. Amen. Everybody come forward. Amen. We're going to get those bagels and cupcakes in a moment. Amen. There you go, Sheila. This is working for you. You can sing quietly. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I need everybody to come forward. Squeeze on in. Amen. Thank you. Come forward. We're moving forward to new dimensions of His grace. I'm going to pray that God will snap you out of your unconscious state, and you will be more aware and conscious of what God is doing in your life. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to pray for enlightenment, spiritual enlightenment. I'm going to pray that you will take hold of what God is trying to do, that you won't make the same mistakes that I made and mess up your life and have to spend years of getting things back on track because you made a mistake and did not want to listen and heed the word of God. His grace is sufficient, but you cannot abuse His grace. Once you know better, you must do better. So if you don't want to know, don't come. But once you know better, you have to do better.
Jesus, have mercy, Lord.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Lord, Father, we thank you right now.